As we gather today, we talk about the Lord's Church and the way in which the gospel tells us and shows us. Miss Lisa's visiting with us today, and she was a part of going down to the state of Florida, and lo and behold, she went to a church down there, and she met a young man, Jim. And Jim was a part of the New Testament system as well, and learned the gospel of Jesus Christ, and see that there were places and other places that they were studying the Word of God and doing the will of the Lord. And the idea is for us to be the people who worship God as they did in the New Testament time. We cannot add to His Word. We cannot take from His Word and please the Lord. We can be people who do what His Word says and find a wonderful blessing, a worship of God in spirit and in truth. It is said, in fact, in John 4:23, God seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does He do? He seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yes, we're to be people who worship the Lord, and He actually is out here seeking us as we go about our worship of God. In the New Testament of the Bible, we find where the church at Corinth was worshipers, and there were writings about them. In 1 Corinthians 11, they were sorely criticized because they were misusing the Lord's Supper. They were not partaking of it in a proper way, remembering the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. They were remembering themselves as they ate their meal together. And thus they are criticized of eating and drinking, condemnation to their souls. Can you think of anything worse than gathering together, singing songs together, and then comes time to take the Lord's Supper, and we're eating and drinking damnation to our souls because we're not discerning the Lord's body. We're not discerning His blood. We're not discerning the purpose of the Lord's Supper. We just think of it as unleavened bread and grape juice. That's all it is to us. And we're eating and drinking condemnation to our souls because we're doing that. Can you think of anything less that we should be doing? We should learn the betterment of it. And thus Paul was writing to them, telling them that they were to tarry on one another as they gathered. And they were so to eat that bread and drink that cup, remembering the Lord when He said, and notice what He said about His body and about His blood. This is given for you. Remember this as you partake of this. This is not a common meal that you're to eat and enjoy the benefits of that. You're to eat this meal in remembrance, a memorial of what He has done for us. In their singing and their preaching and their particular praying, they were people in 1 Corinthians 14 very criticized because of what they were doing. They were misusing the languages that they could speak in doing that. And they were speaking in such a way that others who visited with their services didn't understand at all what they were saying. Left saying that these people are insane. They're mad, the King James says. They're mad. They're insane people. They're not doing what, they're not telling us what they're doing. We realize something's important to them, and it should be important to us, but we don't know what it is because we can't understand the words that are being said as they sing and as they pray and as they preach. Paul didn't want that to happen to the contribution that they would give. There was a great need, a great famine was coming, and there was a great need among the brethren though back over there in Jerusalem. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, "As I've given order to the churches of Galatia, so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay by in store in, as you've been prospered, that there be no gatherings when I come." Paul said the importance of this matter is that there will need to be going among you, and there will be need to be finding out for you what can you give toward this purpose. They gave, and they gave a lot. In 2 Corinthians, they're praised for the cause they gave in such a bountiful way that they gave even out of deep poverty. Some of them really didn't have that right now in their hands, but they gave out of deep poverty because of the work of the Lord that they wanted to be engaged in. That was the way in which giving was to be done. And there was not to be a delay in that giving. So the worship of the Lord in the first century being practiced here today. All the forms of this being practiced today. The idea that we'll be speaking in words that will be clearly understood. The prayers are clearly understood. The songs are clearly understood. But the words that are being used is important for us. And as we gathered, we sang and we did this in prayer together. And now as we study God's Word about a very important subject, we find ourselves in part two of a theme and the idea about how we are to be people who please the Lord in our moral ways of dress. Let's find ourselves dressing in such a way that we encourage the faithfulness to God and the good will of the Lord, and not just ourselves. You know, when we find this in regard to our matters of life, we find the teaching in Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 21, about John's disciples who went to see Jesus. Listen to what is said there in Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. You can read along with us. It is noted regarding this matter that here it is that Luke chapter 7 is where it would be found. We find that John's disciples wanted to know if the work that they were doing was the same work that Jesus was doing. And thus it is said regarding them that they went that way and they did answer the deeds. Notice what is said here in Luke 7, beginning 21. And in that same hour, He cured many of the infirmed and the plagues and evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. And then Jesus answered and said to them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. Here it is that we do what we have seen and heard. If they had seen and heard Jesus in a worldly spirit, in a worldly way, in a worldly temptation way, they found themselves seeing a Lord that was not a Lord at all. But Jesus said, you go tell John the things that you've seen and heard in the sense of what you have seen. You have seen people helped. You've seen people that were blind able to see. You've seen people that dead able to live again. You've seen people who are in need of help getting over leprosy to be mended. You've seen this because this is the way that I have lived and this is the way I have worked among you. Let's be people who have that relationship to God that He wanted them to have. He wanted them to realize that the Father had sent him to do the will of the Lord. And in doing the will of the Lord, he was to help people. He was to lift them up. He was to be a person who cared with their way. And so it is in your life and mine. We're to live in such a way, dress in such a way. We're to behave in such a way of words and speech that we find ourselves doing the will of the Heavenly Father. Lifting up and helping. Not worldly ways, but helping spiritual ways of the Lord. If we find ourselves doing a worldly way, we'll find ourselves in a temporary time of joy. There'll be a temporary time because, listen, in society, the changes of things in society are changing from generation to generation of time. There's a time in which you and I lived in earlier days and times where the pantsuits were not acceptable at all. Although there was covering that was done, modesty wasn't a question. It was just simply not in vogue. It was not the culture of the day and time. When we find ourselves involved with sports events and activities, and we find ourselves coming to worship service or coming to Bible class, and we find ourselves involved with a dress code, that is something that we could not wear down the hall of the school that we were in when we came from that event that we were a part of. We found ourselves not being able to go into camp and do that. We want to tell young people, please wear clothing that is closer to the knee than it is to the hip. Why? Because we want to illustrate a good example. It looks like that the more that it is to the hip, it's lesser of the ability to understand how we're to be examples for the Lord. How we're to be people who are moral in our teaching, moral in our ways of doing, thinking about the things that are not of the flesh, but thinking about the things that are of the Lord. Let me take you back to the book of Proverbs chapter 6 just a moment. And in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning verse 32, reference is made to one who gets into sin with a woman. He hath not, the scripture says, understanding. Whosoever doeth this, a wound and dishonor shall he receive, and it shall not be easily wiped away. Here is a wrong that is being done. Here's a practice that is being done. It is worldly in its way. It's worldly in its practice. It's worldly in its thinking. And it is something that is described as being done without understanding. There's no real thought that is processed. There's no real end to the thought about what's going to happen here. What's going to be the end result of this? What's going to be the spiritual result of this? And the question asked is not answered in a proper way. It is said there regarding this, wounds and dishonor. There are diseases associated with. There are hurts and harms that are associated with. Let me take you back now to John chapter 7. What did Jesus tell them to go and tell John? The things you've seen and heard, you go tell John. What have you seen and heard? Have you seen diseases advanced? Have you seen hurt and harm done? Have you seen something that's not righteous and good practiced? Or have you seen something that is spiritual, something that is good, something that's godly, something that is helpful, something that lifts up people? When they went back to John and told him what they had seen, the lame were able to walk, the deaf are able to hear. It is the case that even the good news of the gospel is preached to the poor. The poor receive this which is for the soul so great and good. John knew that this man of whom they had heard was indeed the Christ. The one that he had recognized first and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This Jesus cares about people and cares about the progress. And thus we are to be people who do the same. As we do that, we find ourselves doing God's will and being God's person. Instead of having a lack of understanding and getting into wrongdoing and diseases and death and hurt and harm and being torn down by that process, as you read in Proverbs 6, it is the case that you live faithfully to the ways of the Lord. Go to the work that John the Baptist was doing. As he went forth to proclaim the message of the Savior and bear witness that Jesus had come from the Heavenly Father and the Father's will, wonderful thing that he did. But he also went to Herod and said, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother Philip's wife." What wasn't right about that? It wasn't right for him to do that. Now then, he didn't like that, but there was someone in the household that really didn't like it and wanted to kill John. Her daughter, Salome, was asked to come for a birthday party and do a dance. And in that dance, she so incited him that he offered anything up to half the value of his kingdom. Her mother said to her, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." Now, what was John doing in his life? He was building up, lifting up, pointing the way to the Savior, seeking out if this were the real Savior. Hearing the things that he heard, he knew that this was the Savior that had come from heaven. He represented the Father's will. He was lifting up and doing good and helpful ways. What was she doing? Well, she was listening to her mother. And the head of John would be his death. Severed from his body, this head of John would be brought. The king found himself remorseful, but found himself making a promise. Half of the kingdom would be yours. Thus he had to carry it out. And the death of John the Baptist came about. Jesus said, "Of men that are born of woman, there hath not been a greater than John." But then he went on to add this following: but he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, that person out here who is converted to the Lord, whose soul is saved, who is built up for the cause of God, is greater than John. Why so? John lived in a time in which he lived at the end of the old law. Every year, animal sacrifices had to be brought. Those animal sacrifices had to have the high priest lay hands upon this animal and bear the sins that John in his human body had lived in and done during the course of that year. Every year this was to be done. A steady practice of it. A steady reminder of his sinfulness. But not so with the least in the kingdom coming. For the least of the kingdom would be covered by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. Here's a blessing that we have. A blessing to lift up and live up and do good and helpful ways around us. Let's be that kind of good example. And as we are a good example, we find ourselves thoughtful about what we're doing. If we can't find ourselves in a dress code in church services different than we do from the sports arena, aren't we really shorting ourselves? Is it not the case that we carry extra garments with us at times because we know we're going in the schoolhouse or we're going into another building, a dwelling, another occasion, that particular dress code at the time of our game is not acceptable? Let's find ourselves thinking as the Bible teaches us to have understanding, to lift up as Jesus and John lifted up, not tear down as Salome did, not tear away as did her mother, not do the ungodly things of the person's life who doesn't have understanding and sins thereby. Let's be people who are holy in our spiritual way. And I've got to go back to that particular passage once again that we mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 3 in reference to this matter. For he said, be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy. We're to be holy in our culture. Holy in our dress code. Holy in the words that we choose to use. Holy in the practice of our daily walk of life. And without that holiness, Hebrews 12 and verse 14, without the holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We'll not be meeting him face to face and approved by him if we're not holy in our ways of life. That includes our choice of dress. Let's be people who thank God for the privilege of living a holy life, a good and godly life, meeting some young lady, meeting some young men who find themselves loving that way of purity and that way of holiness, wanting to be a part of that work and that way of life, living that kind of activity. How wonderful it is to have that kind of relationship and that kind of hope for the soul. Being a part of the church and worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Being a person who wants to do better in growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Learning His will and His way. Let's up our numbers from 18 in Bible class to a higher number. Let's be the next person who adds to that number so that we're part of discussions. We're part of listening. We're part of study. We're part of prayer. We're part of growth because we want to do better. Informing ourselves to be people who serve the cause of God better. And as we learn to do better, guess what we'll be doing with people that we meet, people that we date, and people that we marry. We want them to go to heaven too. And in reference to a good woman in 1 Peter chapter 3, it is said regarding her and her husband does not obey the Lord. By your example, he may be won to the Lord. Though he's not listened to the message and been won by the message itself right then, the fact that you live it out in your daily walk of life, Peter says, this godly woman will have the result of her husband obeying the Lord too. And their, talk about their, more than one, their prayers will not be hindered. To know that you pray for the same thing your wife prays for. To know that your wife prays for the same things that you pray for. To know that y'all are together in living and thinking a holy walk of life is a blessing. Thank y'all for listening and studying with us today. You can hear this lesson again by way of our website, as part one and part two deals with the relationship of our moral climb with God. Let's be people who follow the way of the Lord and maybe even tell others in regard to this message of the Lord's gospel. As the song is provided today, as we think about the things of the Lord and the things of the right way, you're subject to Jesus' invitation to obey him today, to be baptized into Christ, to live that newness of life. You can do that today. If you need to find yourself saying, I need to come back to the way of the Lord, be restored to him, and in prayer, find my forgiveness for the way that I have mislived up to this time. It'd be a good time to do that. Won't you come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing together?
Like a olive tree.